praise the Lord. I think even the Episcopal could shout this morning. Huh? Our house Episcopal just let it rip. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 24. As we continue looking at worship and looking at worship, what worship is all about according to Scripture, not according to what man has messed up in their own thinking. If you know me, and you've known me sometime, most of you have, you know this, that I'm very big on the fact that man has entered into a bunch of beliefs and a bunch of teachings and a bunch of philosophies that are contrary to what the Word of God says. And so we're going to continue to stick to the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches us about certain things. And last week we started this journey on learning more about worship. We learned that worship is to kiss toward. It's an intimate phrase. And that our intimacy should be directed toward the one true God. And we know this, that He made it possible by sending His only begotten Son through this world to die for us, that we may connect with the sovereign God of the universe through the sacrifice and atonement of His Son. And that's the only way we can ever have a right worship relationship with God the Father. We learn that man is created with this missing link inside of them that desires to worship someone or something, so that we will take note of the things around us and see that there is a God who created all this. And then later on in that process, we'll take note that there is a God who loved us, and as the Spirit reveals to us, who not only loved us, but He sent His only begotten Son to die in our place so that we could have fellowship with this one true God. And in that, we know that those of us who are here on the earth, born-again believers, our fellowship with the Father and with the Son comes through the Holy Spirit, who now lives inside of us and inhabits us. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, for Him who lives inside of me, the Spirit of Christ that He sent to live in believers 2,000 years ago. But today what I want to talk about is I want to talk about not the who of worship, because that's what we talked about last week. But I want to talk about the why of worship. Why do you worship? Many people claim that they're worshiping God, and let me just say this. If your motives aren't right, we're going to talk about motives today. If your motives aren't right in what you are calling worship or in your attempt to worship, God knows this. Therefore, your worship is going to be unacceptable to the Father. I don't say that to be ugly to you today, though I don't mind being ugly. If it's ugly, I'm going to call it ugly. If it's pretty, I'm going to call it pretty. But I say that to you today because when we look at worship, I want you to understand the motive behind why we worship could be the thing that's keeping you from intimacy with God. Your motive, and I know some of you, your motive for worship has been handed down to you through denominationalism, through people and their ideas and their teaching. And so you've never seen a pure motive of worship. I want to help you today. I want to help you see what the Word of God says and what we know through the Word of God to be true. Psalm 24, if you're there, say amen. That means I know you're there. If you're still looking, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm still looking. Anybody still looking? All right, look at you. Clown. One in every group. I'm just glad I wasn't him this time. Psalm 24, as we look at this, and we talk about worship and why we worship, I want you to ask yourself that question, simple question. Why do you worship? Why are you here this morning? Why do you claim Christianity? Why do you go through the things that you do? Why do you celebrate the things that you celebrate? Why do you praise God when you praise God? You say, man, do you mean to tell me that I could be praising God with the wrong motives and it's not counting for anything? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you know there are people who give money every single week because they expect a return on it and not because they feel it is a part of their worship? Let me tell you this. Your motives are all wrong. Worship and giving is a part of that worship. Worship is for God. It's not for you. Now, I know this. God gives us some promises that He's going to bless us. But you know there are people and there are false teachers who teach you this, that if you give $100, God's going to bless you with $1 million. Did you know that? Now, here's the thing. That's a catchy thing for those of us who are trying to live the American dream and all caught up in making money, because that's what we're here to do, right? Make money and retire and die and go to hell with lots of money that you can't take with you. So the fact of the matter is this. If we really get down to it, Our giving as a part of our worship ought to be no strings attached. God, it's yours. Here's what you require of me, whether that be the tenth off the top or whether that be what the Spirit leads you to give cheerfully as you go. You ought to give it, and here's the thing. Once you give it, it's gone. I'll guarantee this. You'll be blessed, but I can't guarantee you a million for a hundred. Can't do it. I can guarantee you this. Some of you don't go through the same problems that other people go through because God's taking care of you because you're faithful in giving. Your washer's 1968 model in your house. And it's still running. Because the sovereign God knows this. He knows you don't have $900 to go get a new one. And you've been faithful. He takes care of you. He promised He would. That's a blessing. See it for a blessing. Don't get out there and gripe about your 30-year-old washing machine. Get out there and say, thank you, Lord, that my 30-year-old washing machine is still working. I praise you because you're behind this. Because 30-year-old washing machines don't work on their own. As we look at this, I want us to examine our motive. Look at Psalm 22. We're going to get six verses this morning. You can read the entirety of it, please do, on your free time. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I like to do this when we get to that verse, because this is fun. Y'all ever play this game? How many of you own a car? Raise your hand. You didn't read the first verse. Man, everybody in here owns a car. This is where I'm going to show you today that we're messed up in a lot of our thinking. Let's try again. How many of you own a house? You're a fast learner. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You better understand that. Every cell in your body, every fiber of your being belongs to Him. Every dime in your pocket, everyone here has a roof over their head. It's His roof. The car you drove to get here, it's His car. Therefore, use it for His glory. We're going to talk about that more in just a moment. The earth is the Lord's and everything, and it's no coincidence as He starts a passage about worship, He reminds us of that. This time we have together, because some of you are going to be checking your watches before we're done. Let me just say, does anybody here have your own time? Now, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. This time belongs to Him. He says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. That means every single one of you. Watch this. That means every single one of the hurting and lost people out there who we are going to leave here hopefully today with a new mindset to reach as an expression of our worship for God the Father. He says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. It says He created it all. Watch what He says here. He's going to pose a question. I want you to pay attention to this question. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He's saying, who can approach a holy God? Who can fellowship with a holy God? Who can have intimacy? We talked about worship being intimacy. Who can have intimacy with a holy God? He said, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? Watch what He says here. Verse 4. He who has clean hands. Pay attention. How many of you are thankful that you're clean before God, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you? It says, he who has clean hands. Let me tell you something. As dirty as I have gotten in my flesh as far as sin is concerned, God, through Jesus Christ and His blood atonement on the cross, has cleansed me of all my sin. Listen, that is prerequisite number one as we approach the hill of God. We approach His holy place. He says, clean hands. Have your hands been clean? You need to think about this morning. Many of you surrendered your life to Christ. You heard the gospel. You surrendered to that gospel. But as the Holy Spirit led you out of darkness and into light, let me assure you of this. Your hands are clean. You have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I know old-fashioned saying that a lot of people don't want to say in church anymore because I don't think that it's relevant in this world. Let me tell you something. If we're all dirty because of sin in this world, why would being washed in the blood not be relevant? And so I say this to you this morning, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you meet prerequisite number one to ascend the hill of the Lord. He says, who can fellowship with me? Who can have intimacy with me? If you're not a believer, let me tell you this, you can't fellowship with God. We talked last week that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. Understand that. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So if you don't go through Jesus, you don't go to the hill to ascend to the Father to fellowship with him. Now, church people, pay attention to me. This is why your worship is so messed up. We're going to look at next. This is why you want to approach the throne, but you feel like there's something blocking the way. Because he didn't just say who's he who's been cleansed. Are you saved? 100%. Forever, by the blood of the Lamb. You're clean. Your sin's never going to be held to your charge because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. The grace that God has given you is grace that I promise you was free to you, though it came at the great price of Jesus the Son. So understand this, it is a gift. Just as John 3:16 said, it's a gift, and it will always be a gift. It's given to you. And if you've trusted Jesus to cleanse you of your sin, you will for all eternity be with him. Now watch this. But you still can't figure out why some people are free to raise their hand. And some people are free to get on their face. And watch this, pay attention, because that's not all that worship contains. Some people are free to live a life that brings glory to God. It's going to come with the second part. Pay attention. It says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands. And it goes on to say, and a pure heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Pure heart, not a phrase that we use a lot, but let me tell you what it means. He who has the right motives. Pure motives. You know what I'm thankful above all things? I'm thankful above all things that God sees my pure motives in serving him. You know why I'm thankful for that? Because I don't always get it right. More often than not, I get it wrong, but God sees the heart behind my motives. He sees the motive behind my action. Here's the thing. Some of you feel like you are blockaded. I just can't approach God. Let me say this. There may be sin in your life. Listen, trust in Jesus' sacrifice for that continual cleansing. We need that as well. But if you get to a point where, man, there's no known sin in my life, the Holy Spirit's not convicting me of anything that I need to confess and repent of, what is the deal? This may be the deal. Your motives may be messed up. Your motives in approaching God may be for the wrong reason. Let me tell you this. If you have the wrong motives, it's not worship. It's humanism. It's philosophy. It's human ideas and human teaching. It's idolatry. Watch this. Why do you think he threw this in here? He said, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Verse 3. Who may stand in his holy place? Verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He says, he will receive blessing from the Lord, vindication from God his Savior. And he says this, such is the generation of those who seek him. Very important. Very important. You know why? Because we should be distinguished from the rest of this world as a generation who worships God the Father because of the price that Jesus the Son paid to purchase us out of our sin, to cleanse us, to give us and to create in us a new and a pure heart with pure motives to reach the lost and to worship the Father. You know what Jesus taught? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the gospel, folks. He said, this sums it all up. Everything that you've ever been taught. Everything from the law to the prophets. Here is it in a nutshell. So we see this. Many people have improper motives for worship. Some of you came here this morning. You came here for the wrong reason. You came here because you like Christian entertainment. Listen, you know what? I get sick and tired of being a Christian entertainer. That's not what I want to be. I want to lead you in worship. Listen, not when I have a guitar in my hand, not when I'm behind the pulpit. In my life every single day, I want people to say, that is a man who worships God. Watch this. Not so people will go, ooh, we look at him who worships God for God. For his glory. For his praise. So that others will come to him through the example that we live. That ought to be the motive behind what we do. We know this. There's lots of improper motives in worship, isn't there? I don't say these things to upset you or your apple cart. I say these things because we know we can all fall into this trap. Number one, I want you to write this down. Many people worship from an impure heart for their own gain. Write it down. Some of you are here today for your own gain. I've heard it. This is ridiculous. And people are going to get mad at me because I say this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. When you say, I come to church because when I come to church, I feel better. If you came here to feel better, you came to the wrong place. Because when conviction sets in through the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't feel better. I feel like I get punched in the stomach. Why? Because whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. I'm thankful for the disciplining hand of God who will not let Kirk Hall look like anything any longer that does not reflect Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So if you come to church because church makes me feel good, I've heard it 1,000 times, I go to this church because when I leave, I just feel so good. The truth of the matter is we don't teach enough that apart from Jesus Christ, we are wretched. We're wretched. You never see the Apostle Paul saying, boy, howdy doody, I feel good. No, he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Ooh, that sounds attractive. Pretty sure that's going to cause people to pull up in your church parking lot and pack the pews. Come be a part of our body of death. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Paul says, and then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He knew where worship was supposed to be pointed, where worship was supposed to go. I am wretched in and of myself. I'm struggling all the time in and of myself, but thanks be to God through Jesus. But there are many people who they come to church for their own gain. Well, I feel like when I miss, I have a bad week. Let me help you. This Americanized church idea, this is an American thing. There's some countries where they may get to go to church once a month, once every few months. They don't get the privilege of meeting once a week. Did you know what? Even in Jesus' time, these people didn't get together all the time. Sometimes they only got together once a year, twice a year. Meeting together right now for your gain is the wrong motive. You say, well, I kind of feel bad because I do feel good when I leave. Search your heart and see if you were coming to feel good. If that is your motive, because let me tell you something. I feel good every time Jesus, through His Spirit, convicts me of something. I confess that and I feel the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. And then I feel good. But I promise you this. You've heard me say it. I'll say it 1,000,000 times. I would not attend a church where the Holy Spirit is not free to convict about sin. I wouldn't even go there. So here's the thing. Understand, some of you came here this morning for your gain. I want to learn something. Why? So that you can have knowledge? Check your motive. Man, if you would apply half of what you've already highlighted, there wouldn't be a lost person in the world. Oh, no, that's too much. If you would apply a third of what you've learned, I promise you, people would be coming to you asking you about the hope that you have in Christ. That's the way it's supposed to work. So look at this. Are you here for your own gain? Because I know who you are. Some of you are visiting our church. Good to have you. If you're church shopping, let me make this easy for you. If you're looking for the feel good, send people to hell type thing that's all about you and your needs and your desires, this is the wrong place. Jay, well, you can't grow a church like that, brother. Look around. This is low today. We got people who are hungry for truth. You know why? Because they've been fed lies their whole life. All truth. The truth is this, some people come to worship God for their own gain. It's about you and your gain, you're in trouble. Some people tithe. I tithe so that I can get a return on my tithe. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I don't even have to think about that. I'm getting a return. Why? I've been obedient. And I don't have to think about that return. It's not an investment to me. It is out of appreciation for what Jesus Christ has done to me and reading things like the first verse of 24th Psalm that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And here's the thing. If we're okay with just giving a tenth, that means we won't be okay when He asks for all of it back. So we need to live our lives. Lord, a tenth is a beginning. That's a start. But I'm willing to give whatever it is you require. Why? Because it's yours anyway, so you're really not giving. He's just loaned it out to you when He needs it for something else. Be obedient. That's worship. Some come for their own gain. Some worship for their own gain. Some worship for their own good. Some worship for their own good. What can I get out of this? Right? You see people, when bad times hit, they come to church. Y'all remember 9/11? We didn't have enough room in churches during 9/11. So people saw all the bad. And here's the natural human response. When I see bad, you know what I want more than anything? Good. Let me help you out. Can I help all of you? Listen to me. Y'all listen. Jesus never, ever, ever promise that in this world that we live in right now, that social justice will ever be taken away. Social injustice will ever be taken away. There will always be orphans. There will always be widows. There will always be death. There will always be war. There will always be the things that we consider bad. Don't go looking for God just for your good. We just sang a song a second ago and said, in the good times and bad. Do you really mean it? Do you really mean it? Because here's the thing. We're real quick to praise Him when everything's going for our good. Have you ever met those people that they're in church while things are going good for them? And then they get out of church when things get good. And then things go bad. And then they come back to church. And then things get good and then things get bad and they're in and they're out and good and bad and good and bad and good and bad. You know what the difference between them and us is? We stay here. But life is good and bad. Right? Those people are looking to God for their own good. Let me tell you something. When you come across somebody, the first thing they say is, pray for me. Go ahead and mark it down. They're about themselves. They're about themselves. Our duty as Christians and worshipers of the one true God is Him first, others second, and us last. And I promise you, if you get consumed with Him and you get consumed with the others who need Him, you do not have time for yourself. True worship is everyone else before us. Why? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you, well, you just weren't mentioned in that, were you? All red letters will tear us up. He's already promised He's going to take care of you. Quit fretting. Just follow. Worship. Seek intimacy with Him. With a pure heart, pure motives. Many worship for their own good. And the last one, pay attention to this. The last one in the intro before you get all excited. Many people worship for their own glory. For their own glory. You know how you spot these people? They come to church, they're around a positive group of people. How many know it's a good thing to be around a positive group of people? Some people accept that as the change that they need. Because there comes positive results from being around positive people. God has set that in order, but that doesn't mean you've truly surrendered your heart to Christ. It's good to be around good people. Positive people. People who say the right things. Who don't use bad language. Who don't do bad things. It's good to be around those people. If you want influences in your life that lead you down the right path. Some people are just concerned with change. And they want change just for themselves. We're going to talk about that in a second because the change that God brings in us, those of us who are in Christ, He brings that in change. He brings that change in us. Pay attention. Not for us. Do we reap benefits from it? You bet. When the glory of God takes hold of somebody, benefits fly everywhere. But is that the purpose behind it? Not according to the psalmist that wrote what we're reading here today. He also wrote this, that He saved them for His name's sake. So understand something. When we think about God, we can put God in a totally separate category from everything else. Because He's God. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is sovereign. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent, which is all-powerful. He is God. None of us can make that claim. He's holy. We're not. So here's the thing. When we think about God, and I know we can't really comprehend all that with this pea brain, but when we get a glimpse into that, we realize He is the complete opposite of who we are in and of ourselves. And so in realizing that, understand it's okay for God to be about Him. Because there is none higher. He is the only one who is worthy. So let's talk about that for a second. You see people and there's a change in their life. Be very careful if you are that person who has experienced some type of change and you go around and you tell people this. When I changed my life, when I got things right with God, you never got things right with God one single minute of your life. God made things right for you. That's substitution. It's something we don't preach anymore. The substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus stood in your place because you couldn't cut it. Don't ever forget it. So the thing is, when we look at this, pay attention. There are many people who, they like for you to say, oh, Bless the Lord, I see a change in you, brother. Yeah, I'm pretty good now, huh? Because I used to be bad. Then they'll go on for 30 minutes and tell you their testimony and brag about how bad they used to be. Guess what? They could have killed 15 people, murdered innocent women and children. And they were as equally as bad as me. So I'm not impressed when you try to impress people so they'll praise you about the great change you brought in your life. You didn't bring Jack. And if it wasn't for the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you'd still be just the same. So you better pay attention. If you're in this thing for your own glory, so you can get a pat on the back from all the religious people, say, oh boy, you're doing such a good job. You just keep doing that work for the Lord. And you know in your heart it ain't a work for the Lord. It's so people will pat you on the back, tell you how good you are. You got motive issue. Your worship is about you. It's not about Him. Your heart is not pure. Let's look at this. I brought you the bad news first so we can get to the good news. Worship with improper motives is unacceptable. Everybody understand that? Worship with improper motives is unacceptable. Why? Because He said clean hands and pure motives. So if you're here today because you were trying to benefit, you got problems. I'm going to tell you why. Here we go. The proper motives for worship. Here's the proper motives for worship so you can get all this straight. Somebody you're looking at, man, I've been giving all these years so I can get a return. You've been investing. You might as well put your money in the stock market. Let's pay attention to this. And I pray that the Spirit would be free to change you if change needs to occur in your life today. The proper motives for worship. Worship from a pure heart. Number one. Your reason for worship is to bless God. This confuses a lot of people. Because here's the deal. We are so prone in the American dream to think our duty is to receive blessing. Y'all already got your Christmas list made out. Somebody give me more. We don't have enough here in this place we live in, right? So you're tuned to think that it's God's responsibility to bless you. Let me help you real quick. If you receive anything in this lifetime or for eternity that is anything other than death and hell and judgment, God has already graciously given to you way more than you could ever deserve. Because that's what you deserve. That's what you got coming. Here's the thing, I don't say that to be ugly. Let me tell you this, that's what I had coming. I was a sinner who walked in my own ways, doing my own things, and God came down and He rescued me through His Spirit, drawing me out of darkness and into light, into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And had that not taken place, I could not worship Him. And constantly what He's doing, He is refining in me a new heart with the right motives that say this, my life is now not about the blessings I receive. That's a worldly idea. My life is about the blessing that I can be. Watch this, not to you, to Him. Our duty as worshipers is to bless God over and over and over and over again. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. And we still don't get it. We turn to His throne when we think we need something. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Wah, wah, wah. Bless me some more because I don't have enough. As you sit on your air conditioner building and your padded chairs, bless me, bless me, bless me. And God is standing in heaven and He's saying, no, bless me. Bless me! You say, why do you get so fired up about it? Because we've missed it forever! How could I be a blessing to God? That's the first thing that you say. Because I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. There is nothing greater. Any fathers in the room today? There's nothing greater than when your children praise you for the man and the man of God that you are or have become because of what God has done. That's the same thing with God. Thank you, Father. Let me bless you and tell you how wonderful you are to me personally. That's the right motive for worship. Why am I here today? I'm here today not to receive blessing. Will I receive a blessing? You bet. I've never one time blessed the Lord that He didn't reciprocate that in some way. But that's not my motive behind it. Let me tell you something. Pay attention to me. Pay attention to me closely right now. If God never does anything for Kirk Hall again, He has done immeasurably beyond anything that I could ever, ever deserve. So understand that. He deserves to be blessed, not you. So if your motive is to bless God, here's what it looks like. God's blessed when we recognize His position. When we recognize His position, you know, Jesus Himself, when He prayed and taught the disciples to pray, what did He say? What did He say? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, I'm recognizing His position first and foremost. My duty is to bless Him. How do we bless Him? Do His will. How do we bless Him? Be obedient to what He's commanded us to do. But God's blessed when we recognize His position. He's Lord of all. And when we recognize that position, we automatically go into a position in ourselves of submission. Submission to Him that blesses Him. You know, Jesus Christ died so that we could bless God because sin interrupted us. Pure motive is to bless God, recognize His position. Because God is blessed when we recognize His position. Number two, God is blessed when we give Him due praise. When we give Him due praise. I get sick of people praising people in church and they call it encouragement. But they leave one little thing out. Let me say this. Don't you dare ever praise me for me. Praise God for the work that He's done in me. Praise God for the work that He's continuing to do in me. Because I promise you, I know me. You want to get down to the nitty gritty? I have nothing to offer, holy God. So anything that you see good in me is Him. So all praise is due Him. You say, well, how do we encourage people? Just like this. I see God at work in you and I give Him praise. That's how we ought to approach encouraging people. We encourage them how? We encourage them in two ways. Keep your focus on Him, and guess what? My focus is on Him too. Because He's doing this work. So understand, when we talk about blessing God, He's blessed when we recognize His position. He's blessed when we give Him the due praise because He's due. Oh, it's well overdue, isn't it, church? It's well overdue. I believe this, man. I long to see the day in this church where we get out of our car excited about praising Him because He's due. Well, you just don't know what happened before I came to church. He's still due your praise. Instead of griping about your disobedient children, praise God that you have children. Pray that He'll change them, because only He has the power to change. God's blessed when we recognize His position and we give Him due praise. He's blessed when we follow His path. When we follow His path, His will. Paul said it, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He says this is an acceptable act of worship. What was he saying? Man, make every fiber of your being under God's control. Submit to that and allow yourself to bring God glory instead of allowing yourself to bring yourself glory. The things that you can do in this body. So we see the path that He lays out for us. He blesses His heart. What a privilege to think that a guy like me who was dirty and who was separated from God, an enemy of God because of sin, now I have the opportunity with my life to live it in such a way that it blesses my Heavenly Father. What a privilege, Father. Thank You that You're willing to give me that privilege because I didn't deserve the privilege of being able to bless You. What is that approach in the church in America? No, it's what can we get? How much more can we be blessed? I don't know. How much more could a people group be blessed? Let me tell you right now, you better recognize where every bit of it comes from. There's only one who's worthy of praise. There's only one who you need to say thank you, God. Thank you, God, because everything that I have, every drop, every morsel of food that goes in my mouth comes from Your hand. You are worthy of praise. Therefore, I will follow Your path, Your will for my life. In that, You bless the Father. We see the first thing is to bless God. The second thing, I'll go fast, don't worry. Because it's your time. To bless God. The next thing, to benefit God. This is going to upset a lot of you. To benefit God. Some of you follow Christ for your own benefit. You say, well, there are great benefits in following Christ. There are. But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit, who led men to write these things about the nature of God is not going to contradict that. So pay attention when I tell you this. You are not saved for your own benefit. God has sovereignly ordained to raise up a people, the generation that the psalmist talked about at the end, who seek Him with the right heart, who seek them because they've been cleansed and atoned for. He's raising up those people. It's for His benefit, not yours. You say, but I benefit a lot from what Jesus has done. Sure you do. I told you, when God's glory gets involved, benefits fly everywhere. Praise Him for them. We got to stop the idea that God somehow woke up in heaven one day and said, you know, I feel sorry for those people. I think I'm going to do something for them. It's not how it happened. God does things to benefit Himself. He changes you. Why? To put you on display for a lost world who needs change. He loves you. Why? So you can in return love a lost world like they need that kind of love. Our duty, pay attention, our duty in worship is to benefit Him, not us. Stop seeking God and saying, God, what do I need from You? What can I get from You? You got everything and more than you deserve, I promise. Stop asking the question, how can I benefit from God? And ask the question, how can I benefit God? Here's how. We benefit God when we die to ourselves. We benefit God when we die to ourselves. If we live for ourselves, we benefit ourselves. So if you're church shopping here today, you're a visitor, my family and I are trying to find a new location where we can worship. And it has to be the way that we want it to be. You're looking for benefits from God. Don't come here. How dare you, Pastor? Don't come here. I promise you, there are enough congregations where you can get in with a group of people who want to benefit from God. Go find them. I'll point you in the right direction. We want this to be a group of believers who are like the apostles who say, we want to not receive benefit from God. We want to benefit the kingdom of God. We want to do everything for God's benefit, not ours. So let me tell you this. If that doesn't sound good to you and you're church shopping, there's your interview. We don't even have to do lunch. I don't say that to be ugly. I promise you this. I'm not a mean person. Anybody who knows that I'm not. Only because Jesus has changed me. But I say it because that's the truth. It's for His name's sake that He saved me. We benefit God when we learn to die. You know why some of you have learned to serve? Because you learn to die. You know why some of you have learned to share your faith with those who are hurting and lost and need Jesus? Because you learn to die. Who likes that? How uncomfortable is it, right? I love to see a person who's not been born again very long come to me and say, man, I can't believe what just happened. I knew God was telling me to share the gospel with this person, and I didn't even know what I was going to say, and I walked up, and I opened my mouth, and things just started pouring out. I remembered scripture that I didn't even know I remembered. Why? Did you know what you did? Instead of worrying about what benefited you, going on about your busy day, you saw someone that the Holy Spirit highlighted in your life. And the Holy Spirit said they're lost and they're hurting and they need the love of Christ. And what you did, you died to yourself for the benefit of God. That is worship. Please pay attention. That's worship. It's not the song and the style of music that we sing. That's so elementary. Stop arguing about that. Come on, folks. I'm so glad. I praise God that I'm a part of a church. We can sing a Hank Williams song and then we can jump into a Passion song and it really doesn't matter because it's all about His benefit. Some of y'all like, that was a Hank Williams song? The benefit of God benefits God when you die. He can use you when you die. Unless that seed falls to the ground and dies, you're never going to bring God glory. Never going to be obedient. God's blessed when we benefit Him. We learn to die. We benefit God when we not only die, but when we devote our lives to Him. I'll quickly talk about the word devote. It's bigger than a commitment. Please understand, devotion is what God requires of us. Commitment is what the world knows to do. I'll commit as long as it doesn't interfere with any of my other priorities. The priorities change all the time. Here's the thing. You know what's cool about devotion? No matter how my priorities line up, I'm devoted to Christ in every single one of them. Because we all wear different hats, don't we? And here's the thing. We can all wear different hats, but we ought to make sure underneath that our hair screams Jesus. Is this permanent? Some of you, not so much. But you get what I'm saying. We benefit God when we devote our lives to Him. Thirdly, pay attention to this. We benefit God when we dedicate our homes to Him. We benefit God when we dedicate our homes to Him. We wonder why the next generation is so scary to us. We've been almost a full-blown generation of people not devoting their homes, dedicating their homes to Christ. I'm not talking about baby dedication that you do on some Sunday morning because some mommy wants to put her little baby in a cute outfit and parade them before the church. That's cool. That's what you want to do. But what did I tell you when we did it? This ain't baby dedication. This is parent dedication. You better dedicate yourself to God. And if you dedicate yourself to God, you got a promise from the Word. You will pass that along to your children. If you don't, you're in big trouble. You're not going to teach the next generation how to worship God. Back and read the scriptures and see it over and over and over again. So make sure if you're living a life to the benefit of God that you understand. When we dedicate our homes to God, we benefit God. Why? We raise up the next generation of godly people. You ever wonder why God's always talking about generations? Because here's the thing, when one generation blows it, God gives that next generation an opportunity to repent and do things right. Let me tell you something. My generation, please listen to me. Maybe you have blown it. You've blown it because your parents gave you a horrible example. That's no excuse for you to continue to blow it. Realize that it's time that we dedicate our home, we dedicate our lives, that we die to ourselves for the cause of Christ and for the benefit of God the Father, period. When you do that, we will see revival in this land, but until you do that, we're going to keep spiraling out of control. Because I believe this. I believe it all starts with the family. Why? Because that's the way God set it up. That's the way God set it up. So maybe your family life when you were growing up was hard. You blame God for it and you use it as an excuse. Do whatever it is you want to do. Stop. Stop. Say, let me be a part of the generation that seeks God. A part of the generation who has proper motives in worship. My motive to bless God. My motive to benefit God. And lastly, my motive to bring attention to the work of Jesus Christ. That's true worship. To bring attention to the work of Jesus Christ. Here's how we do it, and I'm done, I promise you. We bring attention to Jesus by, number one, living out His righteousness. Living out His righteousness. How many of you know, when Christ, through His Spirit, comes to live inside of you, imputed righteousness from heaven lives inside of you. That means this. You now know the difference between right and wrong, and right is who God says you are, and now it is time to submit to the righteousness of Christ that lives in you, that God may receive all the glory and all the praise for the work that He's done at the cross for you. It's important to bring attention to the work of Jesus Christ. It's important that we are constantly living out His righteousness. Lord, what would You have me to do? Lord, what do You want me to look at? Lord, I double dog dare you to say, Lord, what do You want to change in my life today? Number two, we bring attention to Jesus by leaving this world behind. Number one, by living out righteousness, His righteousness. And number two, leaving this world behind. You want to bring attention to the work of Jesus Christ? Leave the world behind. Others will see, this guy's not interested in the same things that I'm interested in. This is kind of weird because everybody else that I know is interested in all these things. And why is this weirdo not interested in the same things that the rest of us are interested in? It's called coming out and being separate. It's called sanctification. I promise you, the work of the Holy Spirit in you will lead you to a point where you are set apart from the world. Some of you right now, you're going, man, I feel like there's a block in my worship. It's because you're worldly. Because you're worldly, the things of the world thrill you and the things of God bore you. The look is on some of your face right now. Wake up! Wake up! When is He ever going to stop talking? I'll tell you when it happens. It happens the same time every week when the Holy Spirit says, okay, Kurt, now it's time to shut your mouth. You go back and be nothing. I'm done. Until I need you again, you'll be a tool in my hand. Yes, sir. He's not there because some of you aren't getting it. So understand, when we think about that, leaving this world behind, motives. What's important to you? What's important to you? If the first thing that pops in your mind is not bringing God glory in this lifetime, and it's something worldly, be it finances, be it your job, be it your children, be it whatever, you are in danger of idolatry, following the system of this world. You bring attention to Jesus when you leave these things behind. That's His design. Do you know that's what He did? He called His disciples to leave the world behind. Hey, Peter, I know you've always been a fisherman. Hey, I know this, that your dad, he's always been a fisherman too. And your grandpa, I knew him, he was a fisherman. And your great-grandpa, fisherman. And your great-great-grandpa, fisherman. And your whole life, you've always been a fisherman. Now, everything that's familiar to you, this world, leave it. What'd he say? Drop your nets. You know that's all Peter had? That's all he knew. Leave that, follow me. And the reason that some of us struggle in the area of worship, really connecting with God, is this. We struggle with that, not because Jesus' work was not enough, not because we're not Christians, it's because we're still trying to hold on to the world. Let it go. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and pure motive. Pure motive is to bring attention to the work of Jesus by leaving, out of righteousness, by leaving this world. And number three, we bring attention to Jesus by letting the gospel message be proclaimed. Pay attention to this. Through our lives and our lips. In that order. In that order. You'll find this, that if you'll let the gospel be proclaimed through your life, you won't have to talk so much. You follow that? If you let the gospel be proclaimed through your life, you won't have to talk so much. Oh, you'll eventually get to the part because you have to preach to them. Because how will they know? Let's the preacher tell them. You got to tell them at some point in time, right? I love these people who they think that, I'm just going to be light. Let my light shine. Yeah, you're going to let your light shine. What's going to happen is they're going to, scripturally, they're going to inquire about the hope that you have in Jesus. Now, here's the time. Open your mouth. And let the gospel flow. But you got to live it so that you can live it. Because I promise you, the world's tired of seeing people live it and not live it. You want to bring attention to the work of Jesus Christ? Let the gospel message be proclaimed through your lives, through your lips. You want to bless God? Check their motives to see if they're pure. Make sure blessing God is the number one priority in your worship. Number two, make sure benefiting God is the number two priority in your worship. And number three, make sure that bringing attention to the work of Jesus Christ is a part of your heart when you approach Him in worship. Stand your feet, every head bowed and every eye. To some of you today, I know this. You're at a position in your life where even the topic of worship seems quite mundane and even boring. I'll say this to you, you've never worshipped the one true God. And I don't apologize for that. To enter into His presence by the blood of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you, there is no greater privilege known. And the thing is, we all know that one day, those of us who know Jesus Christ, we're assured of eternal worship around His throne. But many of us, because our motives are not in the right place, we are missing out on that right now in our lives. And I pray that if this message hits you today, and that the Spirit is drawing you to a point of confession, and drawing you to a point of repentance, and drawing you to a point of honesty where you say, Lord, my motives for worship have been impure. I know now You have revealed to me by Your word and confirmed through Your Spirit that the reason that I cannot enjoy intimacy with You is not because I'm not a Christian. It's because my heart is not pure. Approaching Your throne. I pray this. I pray that today that the Holy Spirit calls in you pure motives of worship to come alive. Maybe you're here today and you say, Kirk, I know I can't worship, and I'm that first category that you mentioned. I know I can't worship because every time I come to this church, I feel like I want to approach God, but I can't because I'm dirty. Here's the good news. Listen to me. Jesus Christ died on the cross to cleanse you of your sin. And today you can be made clean. You can meet that prerequisite of clean hands today. Jesus Christ shed His blood to wash you of all your sin. You say, Kirk, that's what I need. I want to surrender my life to Jesus and repent from all of my sin and to turn to Him and Him alone as my Savior and Lord. If you say, that's me, Kirk, would you slip up your hand right now so I can pray with you and pray for you? You say, I need Jesus to save me so that I can be a worshiper of the one true God. Anyone here like that today, would you raise it up high so I can pray with you and pray for you? I need Jesus to save me. Raise it up high where I can see you. I need Jesus to save me. You're a believer. Let me say this to you. You have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You're one of those people that I talk about. It's time to get on your face and say, Lord, my motives have not been. From this day forward, by your Spirit, teach me what it means to have pure motives in my worship, in my heart toward you, oh God. You allow the Holy Spirit to have His way to move in your life to change you for the glory of God. The altars are open. If you need prayer, our prayer partners are down front to pray with you.